Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 10:02 on this Wednesday midday, 888-808-1019, your number to call. Mark Malusa's in for BT and Sal. Been here all week. Continues today. Take you right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. And listen, the big reaction to, you know, the Giants, and I'm into it, you know, the offseason hard knocks, have not been into, and it not necessarily just because it's a local team and we react to it because it's a local team, was into the Jets last year because of everything with Aaron Rodgers, but the training camp hard knocks, you know, I think it's kind of worn out its welcome a little bit. Now you're delving into the offseason and what the Giants want you necessarily to be able to see and take in to a certain extent. Obviously, they got to be entertaining. They're going to let some things out that maybe they're not all that comfortable with getting out. But for the most part, I think you've liked what you've seen here through the first three episodes. And a couple things to take from a macro level perspective. For the Giant fan out there, number one, that thinks the co-owner, John Mara, you know, is this meddling co-owner that is, it's got to be his way or the highway, or is in control of personnel decisions, or is in control. I mean, that has got to go out the window. I mean, that nonsense has got to come to an end. You know, I've said this before. If you own something, number one, the questions that needed to be asked or have to be asked have to be asked because you co-own the team. In this instance, obviously, co-owns it with Tish. But if you own something on the whole, you're going to ask those that you put in charge to run that particular entity the necessary questions that need to be asked, right? Any owner in any professional sports is going to do that. Hal's going to do that with the Yankees. Cohen's going to do that with the Mets. Tish and Mara are going to do that with the Giants. Woody Johnson's going to do that with the Jets. Name any single owner, and if you're not doing it, then you are an absolute and complete utter fool. And there are Giant fans out there, and I get, you know, you haven't won a Super Bowl since 2011. I understand that, yeah, you know, it didn't look good with Gettleman. And you look at Joe Judge and Shermer, and now the instance of Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. Great year one, bad year two. We'll see exactly what year three brings for the New York Giants, and we'll get to that combination here momentarily. But John Mara, to me, when you look at it, and what you've seen so far here through the first three episodes as the Giants co-owner is this, is that he is asking his general manager that he put in charge to run this organization in Joe Shane the questions that needed to be asked. Obviously, coming in from a business perspective as well when it comes to Saquon Barkley, because he said it properly so. By far, Saquon Barkley is the most popular New York Giant. He sells jerseys left and right. There are Barkley jerseys running all over the place. My youngest son, Gregory, was in tears when he learned that Saquon Barkley was going to be a Philadelphia Eagle, was leaving the New York Giants. One of his great days as a seven-year-old last year during the course of training camp, had an opportunity to meet Saquon, and he was as proud as a peacock. So I get it. And that is the necessary question that needs to be asked if you're John Mara. But here's the deal. For anybody that looks at Mara as the co-owner of the Giants and think that he is, as you know, joked around with Marash a couple weeks ago, you know, that he is this meddling Jerry Jones-esque type of owner. That he's what Dan Snyder was with the Washington Commanders. Well, that is complete and utter nonsense. And that storyline needs to come to an end. John Mara has hired football people to make football decisions. He is the co-owner of the New York Giants. They are a foundational organization in the National Football League. And what you have learned, if you take away anything from the first three episodes here of Offseason with the Giants, Hard Knocks, and HBO, and you're taking in a nice 37 snappy minutes of entertainment last night on HBO, is that the Giants co-owner is going to ask the necessary questions, is going to look at it not only from an emotional but also a business perspective to go along with football, and the questions needed to be asked that were asked. And the connection, obviously, that he had from a business perspective is that Saquon not only is a really good football player, but obviously he is the most popular Giant by far. And that is true. But the notion that he has more of a say and is the final is making the final decisions when it comes to player personnel decisions. Well, that is complete and utter nonsense. That's takeaway number one. Number two, when you look at Shane and Daboll, I think the thing that you come away with is this. Yes, year two was not good. Year one was. But from a organizational standpoint, connecting the dots, crossing the T's, dotting the I's, from, you know, the Giants, you get a sense as an organization, from Shane on down, you know, are pretty well run. Have an understanding of what they want to be. When the episode opens and, you know, get after the quarterback, protect the quarterback, get after the quarterback, let's go, right? The text message between Shane and Daboll. And I think when you come away with it is that if you're a Giant fan, yes, the results matter. This is professional sports. You got to go out there, you got to win football games. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can go out there and think that you made the right decision if in the end it doesn't equate to wins on Thursday nights, on Sunday afternoons, Sunday nights, or Monday nights. You know what? You're going to be out of a job. That's the way professional sports works. This is not Little League baseball. It's not Pee Wee football. This is not watching a 9-year-old go out there and skate. You are judged by wins and losses. You are paid handsomely to go out there and do so. And for Daboll and Shane, you get an idea here that, or a sense, and a complete and polar opposite to when Gettleman was running the Giants, where you had little to no confidence. I think as a Giant fan right now, you have to have confidence that the guys that are in the decision-making positions for the New York Football Giants right now, as head coach and general manager, I think you got to feel confident that those two gentlemen have an idea, a vision. Now they have to orchestrate that vision, carry it out, and go win games. When it comes to Barkley, I found it interesting with the back and forth that Joe Shane had with his agent and where Saquon was. I came away from the episode, and not just last night, but how everything unfolded, and obviously, you know, talking, having conversations with people around the situation, that it was a time to move on. Let's be perfectly honest. The Giants emphasized line play. When I grew up thinking about Giant football and used to go to Giant Stadium, every year we'd get tickets, new Giant season ticket holders, and went to Giants and the Washington game and watching Joe Gibbs on the sideline and all that, and going to a number of games when I was a youngster, right? What defined Giant football? What defined Giant football was obviously great linebacker play led by the greatest defensive player of all time, Lawrence Taylor, but Carl Banks, Harry Carson, Gary Reasons, Pepper Johnson, George Martin up front. I mean, we can Leonard Marshall run down the list. Mark Collins playing the secondary. I mean, you were defined by the guys up front. You were defined by the ability to go out there. Great linebacker play, tremendous coaching with Parcells, but you were defined, obviously, by the ability to go out there and win at the point of attack. They were also defined by a great ground game. Helped out by Sims, obviously, playing quarterback and the like, but still, great line play. That has always been kind of the epitome of the Giants, and they have lost their way for quite some time here. But it's been about the defensive line, it's been about the offensive line. When the Giants have won, when they won 07, the best player on the field that day out in Glendale, Arizona, was the Giants defensive lineman. That was Justin Tuck. I know we can get into the miraculous catch by David Tyree, one of the greatest catches, if not the greatest catch in the history of the Super Bowl, but the Giants won that game because they won at the point of attack. Same thing could be said about the 11 Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. The great offensive line they had defensively being able to get after the quarterback as well. And the Giants slowly but surely, how many years have we talked about it right on these WFAN airwaves about the Giants' inability to protect up front? It was a massive issue for Eli Manning at the end of his career. It's been a massive issue. The Giants have used one draft pick after another on offensive linemen. I don't think there's a team in the National Football League that has used more draft collateral on college prospects than the Giants, and it just has not worked. Well, the Giants as an organization this offseason made the decision, and rightfully so. What do we value? And no one's going to discount the talent of Saquon Barkley. No one's going to discount the talent of Xavier McKinney, even though the Giants were never going to pay him $17 million a year, the deal that he got with the Green Bay Packers. And listen, McKinney is a wonderful player. Great safety. But here's what the Giants emphasized. They emphasized protecting the quarterback and getting after the quarterback. Therefore, the trade with Carolina to go get Brian Burns and the investment in the offensive line when it came to NFL free agency. That's where they wanted to allot their play. That's where they wanted to allot the free money that they had in order to go out there and make this team better consistently. We can get into the quarterback, and we certainly will. And the kind of tease into next week's episode about the interest in Jaden Daniels. And we know the Giants were trying to move up in the draft. And we'll get into the Jones scenario. But that's where the Giants are as an organization right now. It's pretty simple. We can get into schematics. You can look at what defense you run, what kind of offense you run, what your quarterback can or cannot do, where you are at skill position. But really, football is simple. It really is. You can get caught up into a lot of different things, but football is simple. You have to win at the point of attack. And if you don't, eventually you will lose. And the Giants have learned that lesson year in and year out when it comes to the offensive line, which has stunk. And the Giants believe as an organization that the duo of Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns to go along with Dexter Lawrence up the middle, and along that defensive front, that defense can impose their will on opposing offenses, make the opposing quarterback uncomfortable, take away their time, get consistent pressure, and you know what? They're right. We learned finally that, you know, the Giants in the end were never going to go where the Philadelphia Eagles went. You heard that John Mara talked about the fact that it would have a sleepless night if Saquon Barkley ended up with the Philadelphia Eagles. I get it. It's Philadelphia. It's a team that has treated the Giants like the redheaded stepchild. But it's the team that the Giants have learned the great lesson from. Because we can get into Barkley and get into A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurts at quarterback and what they have. But you know why Philadelphia? Not last year, because the team fell apart for a myriad of different reasons. But you go back a couple years ago when Philadelphia lost a gut-wrenching Super Bowl to the Kansas City Chiefs. What made Philadelphia great? They were unbelievable sack machine as a defense. And they had the best offensive line in the National Football League. And you come away from the episode last night where that's the vision. And make no mistake about it, Joe Shane and company, they had issues coming in when they took over this organization. There was a great talent disparity between the Giants and everybody else. And slowly but surely, they're going to add to that talent level. So those are the big takeaways. We'll get into Jones and the Giants quarterback situation for sure. But I want to hear from the Giant fan. Those that think that John Mara is some kind of meddling owner, I want to ask you why. Why exactly do you feel that way? Especially with what you've seen. If you owned a team, if you owned any entity, if you owned a business, if you owned whatever it might be, questions need to be asked. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are the ultimate decision maker. You might have say over the head coach, but it is clear to me he has turned this organization over to Joe Shane, Brian Daboll. They're orchestrating their vision. Now it's on those two guys to go win games.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
10:20 on this Wednesday midday. Mark Malusis with you. 888-808-1019. In for BT and Sal. Get it going. A little bit of Giants football reaction to Hard Knocks Episode 3. The offseason last night on HBO. Let's head out to Princeton, New Jersey. First up, it's Len. It's the fan. What's going on, Len?
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well, Len.
So I just wanted to talk about Mara a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes, he's not to the level of a Jerry Jones or Dan Snyder, but he does have very strong opinions on certain things, and the biggest being the face of the franchise. So if we go back, if you don't think that he was the reason they drafted Daniel Jones in the first place, then you're kidding yourself. And
So you think that it was John Mara who went into Gettleman at the time and said, take Daniel Jones sixth overall?
Yes, 100%.
Based on what?
based on people inside the building that know the organization and the family, especially on the Tisch side, that that was his desire. Look, he's already said, you know, privately that, you know, he wants Arch Manning next. So he's also the reason then that they signed him.
Yeah,
even though, hold on a second, it's the complete.
I mean, it's the complete opposite. I mean, it really is. I mean, listen, John Mara, Steve Tisch, they co-own the team, right? The Maras and the Tishes. They're always going to be involved in the discussions and the conversations. As we know, John Mara has the final say of who is the, you know, head coach of the team, right? He's part of those interview processes, right? Yep. So, but in terms of player personnel, Arch Manning, who has yet to play a down in college football for Texas, right? Can't even win that starting quarterback job. Now all of a sudden you're telling me that he's going within the building telling people that he has to be the next Giant quarterback?
Not in so many words.
I'm sorry. Arch has played it down, but he was playing in mop-up duty. Okay. But he's not starting in Texas.
I get it. But Daniel Jones was on their radar from the time he was at the Manning's camp. So he's got his vision of what a New York Giant quarterback is supposed to be, and you know, Daniel Jones fits it. Now, he brings in Shane and Daboll, and he's got Daniel Jones, and the contract comes up. He's got to do something with him. He wants them to re-sign him. He wants him to be his quarter, the Giants' face of the franchise. The concession that those guys got was the out after this year on a four-year deal.
Right then. So that was John Mara running those negotiations.
No, it was not. It was not. It was that him telling them, sign him, and them structuring the deal so that they got the out after this year.
To be honest with you, at some point in time, you got to look at it logically and say that is that really the case? What general manager then would want to step into that scenario and run it if it's not your vision? You hire a general manager to orchestrate your vision. If that's the case, then why isn't Saquon Barkley still a Giant? If everything you said is true and he's pulling the, you know, by the way, Daniel Jones had to go out there and prove himself to Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, and he was the best player on the field in the game in Minnesota in that playoff victory against the Minnesota Vikings. Regardless of what you see, you still basically think that John Mara is, you know, Geppetto, you know, with Pinocchio. I mean, you still think that basically behind the scenes he's pulling all the strings. I mean, I don't know exactly what to tell you. He co-owns the team. He is not out there scouting and going down to Duke games and scouting Daniel Jones. There's a lot of guys that go to the Manning passing camp. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be quarterbacks for the New York Giants. It was clear through the first three episodes, you get the sense. As Mara said a couple weeks ago, if all things being equal, he would like Saquon to be a Giant. Even at Tim McDonald, you know, during one of the conversations with Joe Shane, talking about the fact of, well, if Saquon's not here, what the hell, not exactly quoting, but what does our offense look like? He's the most explosive player we have. So what exactly do you need to see to basically end this conversation about John Mara? He owns the team. He's going to ask the necessary questions, which he does do. He co-owns the team, I should say. He's going to ask the necessary questions, which he, as any co-owner, as any owner of anything, you're going to go out there and do. If you're not, you're a fool. If you stick your head in the sand and have no idea what's going on, then what are you doing either owning or co-owning the team? You're going to be in the room. You're going to be at the table. You're not going to be the final decision maker. Has he made proper decisions over the years in terms of guys to run this organization? No, he's not. Held on to Reese too long. Gettleman was a disastrous hiring. Shermer, terrible hiring as a head coach. Joe Judge, terrible hiring as a head coach. No one's going to tell you that John Mara has made every correct decision for the Giants. That's why they are where they are. And those individuals failed, and they lost their jobs. And ultimately now, if you're a Giant fan coming out of this, they made the decision. They valued offensive and defensive line play over a safety and a running back, which from a football perspective is smart. Peter, Vernon, New Jersey, is up next to the Fan. What's going on, Peter?
Hey, Moose, how are you?
I'm doing well, Peter. How are you?
Good, buddy. Listen, I love the voice of reason here at this hour in the morning when you're talking about the Giants. It's clear. I mean, anybody who knows how an offense operates, you have to have at least a decent offensive line. Last year, they had one of the worst in the history of the NFL. You never, ever win with that type of an offensive line. If you remember last year, how many times, not even blocking for Daniel Jones, like the Cowboy game, forget that. How many times did you watch during the season Barkley run for minus 1 yard, or maybe two if he got lucky, because the offensive line didn't block anybody? I mean, you're not going to win football games that way. I don't care who your quarterback is, who your running back is, it's not going to work. So what they did in the offseason needed to be done years ago.
No doubt.
And thank God they finally did. Let's hope it works. And defensive line, you're right about that too. Think about it. Look at the Jets right now. Jets got a solid defense, a good defense. It keeps you in football games. The score's 17-16. It's low. You're in there. You're not getting blown out. Those were the two huge needs, and I appreciate you coming on and saying so. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you got it, Peter. I appreciate it. I mean, I think the offensive line, you know, listen, before he left and to go become an assistant over at Memphis, we took over. Mike, I did the Sunday show, the football Sunday show with David Deal, one of the toughest Giant offensive linemen that you'll ever see during his time. And as a guy that could play all along the offensive line, you know, took great pride. He used to tell me about the offensive line meetings, you know, we are the reason. You haven't been able to say that about the Giants offensive line in quite some time. And they've addressed it. Now, those guys got to work, right? Runyon's got to work. You got to figure out exactly what Evan Neal is. You like John Michael Schmitz at center. Obviously, Thomas is a stud at left tackle. But it's been a while since we've talked positively about the Giant offensive line. And they've been bad. And we'll get to Jones, and clearly. But if you can't win at the point of attack, you can't win. Then you have to have an immortal, a quarterback. And clearly, the Giants, as we know, do not. Morganville we go. It's Bradley. It's the Fan. What's going on, Bradley?
Moose, good talking to you.
Pleasure's all mine, Bradley.
Hey, long, big-time Giants fan, 31 years old, been a Giants fan since 98 when I went to my first Giants game. So a couple things I took away from last night. I mean, first of all, I agree with everything you said. John Mara, he's co-owner of the team. He's allowed to be in there. He's allowed to give his opinion. So you know what? Anyone who's making a big hoopla over John Mara, so-called, you know, meddling and, you know, Shane's business, I mean, give me a break. I mean, he's doing his job as an owner, just checking in. And I like what I've seen so far with what Shane has been doing. And with the thing with Saquon, you know, he went to Philadelphia, and it was basically, we saw the numbers. They were at the same deal, but they were at $1 million less. So you know what? That just says to me Saquon just mentally was checked out being a Giant, and he wanted to go to Philly. And I love the moves that they made so far, getting the offensive lineman and getting Brian Burns, because at the end of the day, it's a battle of the trenches. Don't you agree?
Yeah, Bradley, I do. And I think it's a fair assessment when you look at Saquon Barkley as well. Came away with it where I thought, as an organization, the Giants felt it was time to move on. Joe Shane was not the one that drafted him number two overall. And Saquon decided to move on. Now, is it going to sting if he goes out and has definitely an unbelievable season and the Philadelphia Eagles are back to being the team that they were first half last season, the entirety of the previous campaign? And, you know, Saquon's got, you know, 14, 15 combined touchdowns, and he's got 1,200 yards rushing and, you know, 600 yards receiving. Is that, and stays healthy? Is that going to sting? Yeah, that's going to sting.
It's going to hurt. I mean,
there's no doubt. I mean, that is going to hurt. But here's the thing. It doesn't mean it would have happened here. And the timeline for the Giants is a different timeline than Saquon Barkley's timeline as a premier running back in the National Football League. Let's all be perfectly honest here.
Yeah,
Giants have got it's got to look a lot better this upcoming season. They got to look a lot more prepared than they did year two under their head coach Brian Daboll. We know that there were issues with the coaching staff. We know they've got a new defensive coordinator. The offensive line should be improved. And obviously, we'll get to the quarterback here in a little bit, but Daniel Jones has got to stay upright. He's got to stay healthy. And he's got to play.
Moose, you hit the nail right on the head. It all comes down to Jones. I mean, it's really make or break this year. I mean, they gave him the offensive line that he needs to stay upright and, you know, look at his checks and, you know, look at his seams and just make the passes. It's all going to come down to that. They added, they added Malik Nabers in the draft. They added, they're going to lose, obviously, Dan Waller, who ended up retiring. We all know that. But, he has the playmakers on the receiver's side. They still have Hyatt. They have Wandell Robinson. So, you know what? It's all on Daniel Jones. It's all on this kid to finally, show us, are you our future? Are you our future? Unless it's not, they're going to have to go out and get a quarterback next year at some point in the draft, probably.
Yeah, Bradley, and Jones, we've seen him respond before. You know, that's the thing that would probably keep you warm and cozy on a cold night. We've seen Daniel Jones respond before. Year one here with Shane and Daboll. And we saw him respond and played well. Now, statistically, was he otherworldly? He was not. But ultimately, what's it about? The Giants won football games. Now he did have Saquon Barkley. So it's going to be a different look. He's got Devin Singletary now running the football. But the weapons that he does have in Nabers and Wandell Robinson and obviously the speed with Jalin Hyatt and improved offensive line, Jones has got to not only show to be the leader of this team, be productive, be efficient, not turn the football over. The pocket presence has been an issue for Daniel Jones, but he's also got to stay healthy. I mean, that's it. When you've had two neck injuries and a torn ACL, the style and fashion in which Daniel Jones plays the game of football at the quarterback position, can his body hold up? That is a massive question that needs to be answered that we're not going to answer on this July Wednesday. Jose in Newburgh, we can guess. We're just not going to have a solidified answer one way or the other. Jose, what's going on, brother?
What's up, Moose? I like his makeup. He's a guy who's going to work. You know, he's that type. You know, we're not worried that he's out clubbing or anything. And I like Danny Jones' makeup. I'm a bigger believer in Danny Jones than most just because I like what I saw when he was given something decent. Man, last year was so bad to watch less than 3 seconds, and he's getting pounced on, man. You can't work like Lamar Jackson. Nobody can work like that, man.
No, it's tough to take now. Jose, you know, you talk to guys that played the position in the NFL before. You know, you can help out your offensive line, have an idea of what the defense is, where the pressure is coming, helping out your offensive line by changing the protection scheme up front. You know, the great quarterbacks can do that, right? Yeah. That's with preparedness. Yeah. That's with studying. That's having an idea of and knowing your opponent like the back of your hand. So those the great quarterbacks can do and have an understanding of where you need to go with the football, you know, pre-snap based on the defense that you're seeing.
Manning's commanding the line and Elway's commanding. We've seen them. But we've seen them with better weapons. I don't know, better offensive lines. I just really feel like when we saw him with something decent, he was able to get us into the playoffs. Now, as far as Barkley, he spent, man, so much of his time on the injured list. I love him. He was a great guy, but he's dead to me now. He's done. We're going to move on. I think we're going to be okay because we won Super Bowls without Hall of Fame running backs. Tiki was the greatest running back ever. We won Super Bowls without him.
No, you did, Jose. Barkley, it's been the debate raged on about drafting second overall. Gettleman, you know, the gold jacket quote, I'm here to draft future Hall of Famers. In the end, it didn't work, right? In the end, they were trying to, you know, squeeze whatever juice was left in the career of Eli. It didn't work. I don't like the whole idea of he's dead to me. Like Saquon, you know, when he was on the field, was a really productive New York Giant. Did he battle injuries? No doubt. Could he have made it last summer an absolute mess being as ticked off as he was? He could have. He didn't. Is he wanted to be there for his teammates? Was it time for both sides to move on? Yeah, probably. Is Saquon going to be rejuvenated now with the talent that he has around him down in Philadelphia? Yeah. Is it outlandish to think that Saquon Barkley is playing in the Super Bowl this upcoming February? That's not outlandish. And that's going to be really painful. It really is. You know, and Mara talked about if he goes to Philadelphia, I'm going to have some sleepless nights. Yeah, it's if he stays healthy with what they have down in Philly and Nick Sirianni is able to keep his head on straight with that offensive line, even with the loss of Kelsey at center, with the weapons that they have at wide out and tight end, and you throw him into the mix with Jalen Hurts, that makes that offense even that much more explosive. So that's going to sting. But the Eagles are looking at Saquon as a finishing piece to try and win a Super Bowl. We're not there with the Giants. We're still in the building phase. Protect ours, get after theirs. Let's go. Right? It was basically the text from Shane to Daboll or Daboll to Shane. And that's exactly right. That's how you start to build a consistent winner in the NFL.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
10:44, Mark Malusis with you, in for BT and Sal. Number to call, 888-808-1019. Giants reaction to episode 3 last night, Hard Knocks, off season. That's the theme early. Get into some other things over the course of the program. Belmore we go, Lucas the Fan. What's going on, Lucas?
Moose! Such a big fan, man. Good to hear you back on The Fan.
Thanks a lot, Lucas. Appreciate it, brother. What's on your mind?
Couple things. I didn't even watch the Hard Knocks thing, but just with the Daniel Jones, I'm just curious of your opinion. He gets hurt every year. When he gets hurt this year, which is inevitable, who do you think is going to back him up?
Yeah, Drew Lock.
You think Drew Lock, not DeVito?
No, I don't.
Another thing with the Mara thing, how Mara seems to be obsessed with Daniel Jones because he thinks he's so much like Eli. I just don't see it. I've never been a Daniel Jones fan. They shouldn't let him go, even after the playoff game. They should have let him go, I think, and went a different direction.
Yeah, I it's hard when you look at a quarterback that wins, that proves them, and you're going to lean on Shane and Daboll as talent evaluators, right? Because that's why they got their job. And they looked at Daniel Jones as being workable. And there's different levels of quarterbacks in the National Football League. So they looked at Daniel Jones and said, yeah, we can work with him. We can win with him. There's a pathway here to victory. Now, is there, when Aaron Rodgers in his prime, is it Patrick Mahomes? No, it's not to that level. He's not that caliber of quarterback. But the question you have to ask yourself is, can you win with Daniel Jones? And they felt after their first year of experience with Jones that they could. Now, he's been hurt a lot. And you can get out from underneath this contract in 2 years. And this is year number two. And he's coming off a torn ACL. And Jones has responded to pressure before in the past. And now the question comes down to, is he going to respond this year to that kind of pressure? Because this is a season that Daniel Jones, it's put up or shut up time. And that's really it. I mean, when you get the tease to next week's video about the Giants potentially, moving up to go get a quarterback and, get the, about Jaden Daniels. Here's the issue. The Giants, by their actions, I often say it time and time again, actions speak louder than words, right? It often does. You could say something, it's a matter of what you go out there and do. You could pacify people with your words, but what exactly are your actions in order to back that up? Well, the Giants' actions were, as we all saw, as it was reported on, the Giants scouted, looked at each and every one of these quarterbacks. Whether it be Caleb Williams, they were out at USC, whether it be Jaden Daniels, whether it be Drake May, whether it be J.J. McCarthy, you know, Michael Penix. I mean, the Giants did their homework on each and every one of these quarterbacks because you know why? You're sitting there with the sixth overall selection. It's a heavy quarterback draft class. You have a quarterback that you can get out from underneath your his contract after this upcoming season, and you're sitting there with the sixth overall pick, something that you hope to never be having again, right? Because that means you had a lost season, you did nothing on the football field, and you were a disaster. So the Giants' interest in those quarterbacks, you could understand it. Right? Who wouldn't be interested in Caleb Williams? Who wouldn't be interested in Jane Daniels? Who wouldn't be interested in Drake Bay? Who wouldn't be interested in trying to bring in your guy? After all, it was not this brain trust that drafted Daniel Jones with the sixth overall selection coming out of Duke. However, you have to have the opportunity to get those players. The issue for the Giants here, and we'll learn a little bit more about it, is Chicago needed a quarterback. Fields was not the answer. They drafted Caleb Williams. Washington needed a quarterback. They drafted Jaden Daniels. The New England Patriots needed a quarterback. They drafted Drake May. And after all those three guys went down, and sometimes when you are looking at a quarterback and you need a quarterback and there's a quarterback that you believe in, regardless of what you offer, if you believe that quarterback is the answer to your organization long term, there is no price you're going to be able to pay within reason to get up to draft the guy you like. That's it. So I saw some reaction last night about, when the Giants are in their war room and you hear Shane go to Brian Daboll, oh, you interested? How about moving up to go get Jaden Daniels? That's fine. Yeah, absolutely. They obviously like Jaden Daniels a lot coming out of LSU athletically, right? He ends up getting drafted second overall by the Washington Commanders, of course, right? But if you're Adam Peters and you're the Washington Commanders and you need a quarterback, you bring Marcus Mariota to be your backup. You have a new offensive coordinator. You love the athleticism. Coming off a Heisman year, playing in the SEC at LSU, can make all the throws, can also run like a gazelle, can run like Lamar Jackson, and has got that kind of speed, can be multifaceted at the quarterback spot. Exactly what are the Giants going to offer Washington to go get Jaden Daniels? In the end, what were they going to be able to offer New England within reason to go get Drake May? It's easy to say, well, but it's their guy, right? It's a guy that they love. But the other teams need quarterbacks as well. Unfortunately for the Giants, there was not a team there that had a quarterback that got hurt, who was established, who was their franchise quarterback, who happened to have a down season, bad year, that was willing to move back outside the top three based on circumstances where the Giants could move up. Unfortunately for Big Blue, even after all their work and everything that they did and all the work and all the time that they spent on this quarterback draft class, they didn't have the opportunity to go up there and get their guy. And here's what you don't do. You don't compound the problem by drafting a quarterback because everybody's telling you you need a quarterback. If you didn't believe in J.J. McCarthy, which obviously the Giants didn't, you don't draft him. You don't believe in Michael Penix. You don't draft him. That would be making the situation worse. So therefore, you draft what you believe is an elite playmaker and wide receiver, Malik Nabers, who the Giants believe is a baller, who played even 100%, not 100% at LSU, is a tough wideout, can go over the middle, physically gifted. There's nothing not to like about Malik Nabers, and you go to battle and you hope that Daniel Jones, with an improved offensive line, with the playmakers at the wide receiver spot, now with Devin Singletary running the football, that Daniel Jones can stay upright, healthy, be efficient. And you surround him with talent. Jones is the caliber of quarterback that you look at. He is what you want to see. If you wanted to look at Daniel Jones and say he stinks, well, there's enough there on the screen, on the video, in the results, to say that Daniel Jones can't consistently be a winner in the National Football League. If you believe that Daniel Jones has the skill set to play the quarterback position in the NFL, well, there's enough on tape to think that, yeah, I can get something out of him. And that's where the Giants are right now. I mean, that is where the Giants are right now. So they were interested, obviously. And for Jones, I would imagine you were going to use this as supreme motivation. It was a long offseason for you, not only rehabbing a torn ACL, which he suffered late in the NFL regular season last year, last November. But knowing the organization, and even though that, you know, you're signed for three more years, you can get out from underneath that contract after this upcoming season, knowing the organization that you're going to suit up, play, be the starting quarterback for, was looking for their long-term solution at the quarterback spot. If that doesn't motivate you as an athlete, if that doesn't motivate you in your job, I don't know what will. And just like year one, he's out there this year to go out there and prove everybody wrong. And we'll see if he does. And if you want to call me up and tell me that, you know, listen, Jones is not the long-term answer. Yeah, you have every right to believe that. If you want to call me up and say, well, Daniel Jones is going to have better offensive lines, going to have more playmakers. We might get, if he stays healthy, which is another layer to the Daniel Jones story, that we're going to get the best version of Daniel Jones this upcoming season, you might be right of that as well. Andy in Nutley, New Jersey. It's up next on the Fan. What's going on, Andy?
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
Good morning, Andy.
So I want to talk about Hard Knocks. You know, sure. As a Giant fan, first of all, I love it. I love the ins, the outs, all the knowledge we learn. It's really interesting. So I'm glad they did it. I think it was a good thing for the team. Second thing, Mara, I agree with you. He is the owner. He deserves some input. He's not putting his foot down saying, I need this player. I want this player. He's saying, it would hurt if I don't have this player, and it's hurt us as a team. I think he's doing what the owner should do, being involved, but not overstepping his boundary. The third part of Hard Knocks is the plan the Giants had. They showed you they were to get a quarterback. They need some options, including Luck, the running back, the options, including who they got. Offensive linemen, same thing. They gave you three options. They got two of them. They had a plan. They worked it out. They knew what they were doing, and they got the guys. That shows a lot about who you're involved right now. They're making the tough decisions, and they're pulling through and making those decisions in the end. So I think it's a good thing that we have the right team in there as far as, you know, in the office to get this thing done and hopefully bring winning back to the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, I wholeheartedly agree with everything you just said. I mean, there's not going to be a contrarian viewpoint. Just echo those sentiments. I think as a Giant kind of observer, if you're a Giant fan, you're going out to MetLife each and every week, you're spending your hard-earned money, you're investing your time, even if you're just watching at home, whatever it might be, whatever level of fandom you have, it's the polar opposite of when Dave Gettleman was running this team.
True.
You know, but the results have got to be there. You got to win games. I mean, that's it. It's got to look a lot better year three than it did year two. It's not a matter of whether or not Joe Shane's job is on the line or Brian Daboll's job is on the line. That's not it. Year one, there was a thought, because you saw it and you watched it, that the Giants, as compared to Judge, where the preparedness was just mind-bogglingly bad, the Daboll was a breath of fresh air. The team was prepared. They were aggressive. They played together as a group. The results were there. They had some great victories. You found out exactly where they were when they got, you know, absolutely destroyed in that playoff game against the Philadelphia Eagles. But, you know, you had a good vibe about where this coaching staff was. Well, that went out the door, right? Then you knew about you found out about the issues with Daboll and Wink, and he's out as defensive coordinator. Bowen now in, coming over from Tennessee. So, and Wink is now the head defensive coordinator at the University of Michigan. But you look at it, it's got to start to look a lot like it did year one. I mean, it's got to look to where the Giants look ultra prepared, look like the game plan looks great, defensively and offensively, similar to what we saw year one, because I think people started to call into question this coaching staff a little bit, the way that it looked. I understand they went through injuries. I get the offensive line was bad. I know, you know, you have Jones, you have Taylor, and then you obviously have Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlets at quarterback. So a myriad of different things went wrong for the Giants last year. But also, I think the game planning and the preparedness at times was an issue. I think it's going to look a lot better this year. I do. I mean, everyone pushing in the right direction. And I think the offensive line, which has been, you know, a sieve, the offensive line outside of, you know, Andrew Thomas, has been a massive negative point to this team. I think the offensive line, with what the Giants did this past offseason, if you mean to tell me that you watch that and you're going to say, no, I'd rather emphasize safety and running back over defensive line or edge rusher and offensive line, well, you know, that's where we'll agree to disagree. 1057. Melusis with you, 888-808-1019. In for BT and Sal. Come back. We got a Davante Adams update. We'll get into the latest with the... That's how you start to build a consistent winner in the NFL.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
1044, Mark Melusis with you, in for BT and Sal. Number to call, 888-808-1019. Giants reaction to episode 3 last night, Hard Knocks, off season. That's the theme early. Get into some other things over the course of the program. Belmore we go, Lucas the Fan. What's going on, Lucas?
Moose! Such a big fan, man. Good to hear you back on The Fan.
Thanks a lot, Lucas. Appreciate it, brother. What's on your mind?
Couple things. I didn't even watch the Hard Knocks thing, but just with the Daniel Jones, I'm just curious of your opinion. He gets hurt every year. When he gets hurt this year, which is inevitable, who do you think is going to back him up?
Yeah, Drew Locke.
You think Drew Locke, not DeVito?
No, I don't.
Another thing with the Mara thing, how Mara seems to be obsessed with Daniel Jones because he thinks he's so much like Eli. I just don't see it. I've never been a Daniel Jones fan. They shouldn't let him go, even after the playoff game. They should have let him go, I think, and went a different direction.
Yeah, I listen, it's hard when you look at a quarterback that wins, that proves them, and you're going to lean on Shane and Daboll as talent evaluators, right? Because that's why they got their job. And they looked at Daniel Jones as being workable. And there's different levels of quarterbacks in the National Football League. So they looked at Daniel Jones and said, yeah, we can work with him. We can win with him. There's a pathway here to victory. Now, is there, you know, is it, you know, when Aaron Rodgers in his prime, is it Patrick Mahomes? No, it's not to that level. He's not that caliber of quarterback. But the question you have to ask yourself is, can you win with Daniel Jones? And they felt after their first year of experience with Jones that they could. Now, he's been hurt a lot. And you can get out from underneath this contract in 2 years. And this is year number two. And he's coming off a torn ACL. And Jones has responded to pressure before in the past. And now the question comes down to, is he going to respond this year to that kind of pressure? Because this is a season that Daniel Jones, it's put up or shut up time. And that's really it. I mean, when, you know, you get the tease to next week's video about the Giants potentially, you know, moving up to go get a quarterback and, you know, get the, you know, about Jaden Daniels. Here's the issue. The Giants, by their actions, I often say it time and time again, actions speak louder than words, right? It often does. You could say something, it's a matter of what you go out there and do. You could pacify people with your words, but what exactly are your actions in order to back that up? Well, the Giants' actions were, as we all saw, as it was reported on, the Giants scouted, looked at each and every one of these quarterbacks. Whether it be Caleb Williams, they were out at USC, whether it be Jaden Daniels, whether it be Drake May, whether it be J.J. McCarthy, you know, Michael Penix. I mean, the Giants did their homework on each and every one of these quarterbacks because you know why? You're sitting there with the 6th overall selection. It's a heavy quarterback draft class. You have a quarterback that you can get out from underneath his contract after this upcoming season, and you're sitting there with the 6th overall pick, something that you hope to never be having again, right? Because that means you had a lost season, you did nothing on the football field, and you were a disaster. So the Giants' interest in those quarterbacks, you could understand it. Right? Who wouldn't be interested in Caleb Williams? Who wouldn't be interested in Jaden Daniels? Who wouldn't be interested in Drake May? Who wouldn't be interested in trying to bring in your guy? After all, it was not this brain trust that drafted Daniel Jones with the 6th overall selection coming out of Duke. However, you have to have the opportunity to get those players. The issue for the Giants here, and we'll learn a little bit more about it, is Chicago needed a quarterback. Fields was not the answer. They drafted Caleb Williams. Washington needed a quarterback. They drafted Jaden Daniels. The New England Patriots needed a quarterback. They drafted Drake May. And after all those three guys went down, and sometimes when you are looking at a quarterback and you need a quarterback and there's a quarterback that you believe in, regardless of what you offer, if you believe that quarterback is the answer to your organization long term, there is no price you're going to be able to pay within reason to get up to draft a guy you like. That's it. So I saw some reaction last night about, when the Giants are in their war room and you hear Shane go to Brian Daboll, oh, you interested? How about moving up to go get Jaden Daniels? That's fine. Yeah, absolutely. They obviously like Jaden Daniels a lot coming out of LSU athletically, right? He ends up getting drafted second overall by the Washington Commanders, of course, right? But if you're Adam Peters and you're the Washington Commanders and you need a quarterback, you bring Marcus Mariota to be your backup. You have a new offensive coordinator. You love the athleticism. Coming off a Heisman year, playing in the SEC at LSU, can make all the throws, can also run like a gazelle, can run like Lamar Jackson, and has got that kind of speed, can be multifaceted at the quarterback spot. Exactly what are the Giants going to offer Washington to go get Jaden Daniels? In the end, what were they going to be able to offer New England within reason to go get Drake May? It's easy to say, well, but it's their guy, right? It's a guy that they love. But the other teams need quarterbacks as well. Unfortunately for the Giants, there was not a team there that had a quarterback that got hurt, who was established, who was their franchise quarterback, who happened to have a down season, bad year, that was willing to move back outside the top three based on circumstances where the Giants could move up. Unfortunately for Big Blue, even after all their work and everything that they did and all the work and all the time that they spent on this quarterback draft class, they didn't have the opportunity to go up there and get their guy. And here's what you don't do. You don't compound the problem by drafting a quarterback because everybody's telling you you need a quarterback. If you didn't believe in J.J. McCarthy, which obviously the Giants didn't, you don't draft him. You don't believe in Michael Penix. You don't draft him. That would be making the situation worse. So therefore, you draft what you believe is an elite playmaker and wide receiver, Malik Nabers, who the Giants believe is a baller, who played even 100%, not 100% at LSU, is a tough wideout, can go over the middle, physically gifted. There's nothing not to like about Malik Nabers, and you go to battle and you hope that Daniel Jones, with an improved offensive line, with the playmakers at the wide receiver spot, now with Devin Singletary running the football, that Daniel Jones can stay upright, healthy, be efficient, and you surround him with talent. Jones is the caliber of quarterback that you look at. He is what you want to see. If you wanted to look at Daniel Jones and say he stinks, well, there's enough there on the screen, on the video, in the results, to say that Daniel Jones can't consistently be a winner in the National Football League. If you believe that Daniel Jones has the skill set to play the quarterback position in the NFL, well, there's enough on tape to think that, yeah, I can get something out of him. And that's where the Giants are right now. I mean, that is where the Giants are right now. So they were interested, obviously. And for Jones, I would imagine you were going to use this as supreme motivation. It was a long offseason for you, not only rehabbing a torn ACL, which you suffered late in the NFL regular season last year, last November, but knowing the organization, and even though that, you're signed for three more years, you can get out from underneath that contract after this upcoming season, knowing the organization that you're going to suit up, play, be the starting quarterback for, was looking for their long-term solution at the quarterback spot. If that doesn't motivate you as an athlete, if that doesn't motivate you in your job, I don't know what will. And just like year one, he's out there this year to go out there and prove everybody wrong. And we'll see if he does. And if you want to call me up and tell me that, listen, Jones is not the long-term answer. Yeah, you have every right to believe that. If you want to call me up and say, well, Daniel Jones is going to have better offensive lines, going to have more playmakers, we might get, if he stays healthy, which is another layer to the Daniel Jones story, that we're going to get the best version of Daniel Jones this upcoming season, you might be right at that as well. Andy in Nutley, New Jersey. It's up next on the Fan. What's going on, Andy?
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
Good morning, Andy.
So I want to talk about Hard Knocks. As a Giant fan, first of all, I love it. I love the ins, the outs, all the knowledge we learn. It's really interesting. So I'm glad they did it. I think it was a good thing for the team. Second thing, Mara, I agree with you. He is the owner. He deserves some input. He's not putting his foot down saying, I need this player. I want this player. He's saying, it would hurt if I don't have this player, and it's hurt us as a team. I think he's doing what the owner should do, being involved, but not overstepping his boundary. The third part of Hard Knocks is the plan the Giants had. They showed you they were to get a quarterback. They need some options, including Luck, the running back, the options, including who they got. Offensive alignment, same thing. They gave you three options. They got two of them. They had a plan. They worked it out. They knew what they were doing, and they got the guys. That shows a lot about who you're involved right now. They're making the tough decisions, and they're pulling through and making those decisions in the end. So I think it's a good thing that we have the right team in there as far as, you know, in the office to get this thing done and hopefully bring winning back to the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, I wholeheartedly agree with everything you just said. I mean, there's not going to be a contrarian viewpoint. Just echo those sentiments. I think as a Giant kind of observer, if you're a Giant fan, you're going out to MetLife each and every week, you're spending your hard-earned money, you're investing your time, even if you're just watching at home, whatever it might be, whatever level of fandom you have, it's the polar opposite of when Dave Gettleman was running this team.
True.
You know, but the results have got to be there. You got to win games. I mean, that's it. It's got to look a lot better year three than it did year two. It's not a matter of whether or not Joe Shane's job is on the line or Brian Daboll's job is on the line. That's not it. Year one, there was a thought, because you saw it and you watched it, that the Giants, as compared to Judge, where the preparedness was just mind-bogglingly bad, the Daboll was a breath of fresh air. The team was prepared. They were aggressive. They played together as a group. The results were there. They had some great victories. You found out exactly where they were when they got, you know, absolutely destroyed in that playoff game against the Philadelphia Eagles. But, you know, you had a good vibe about where this coaching staff was. Well, that went out the door, right? Then you knew about the, you found out about the issues with Daboll and Wink, and he's out as defensive coordinator. Bowen now in, coming over from Tennessee. So, and Wink is now the head defensive coordinator at the University of Michigan. But you look at it, it's got to start to look a lot like it did year one. I mean, it's got to look to where the Giants look ultra prepared, look like the game plan looks great, defensively and offensively, similar to what we saw year one, because I think people started to call into question this coaching staff a little bit, the way that it looked. I understand they went through injuries. I get the offensive line was bad. I know, you know, you have Jones, you have Taylor, and then you obviously have Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlets at quarterback. So a myriad of different things went wrong for the Giants last year. But also, I think the game planning and the preparedness at times was an issue. I think it's going to look a lot better this year. I do. I mean, everyone pushing in the right direction. And I think the offensive line, which has been, you know, a sieve, the offensive line outside of, you know, Andrew Thomas, has been a massive negative point to this team. I think the offensive line, with what the Giants did this past offseason, if you mean to tell me that you watch that and you're going to say, no, I'd rather emphasize safety and running back over defensive line or edge rusher and offensive line, well, you know, that's where we'll agree to disagree. 1057, Melusis with you, 888-808-1019. In for BT and Sal, come back. We got a Davante Adams update. We'll get into the latest with the Jets' pursuit of the star wide receiver for the Las Vegas Raiders. We'll do that next, right here. Where else? The Fan in New York.